Galatians chapter 6. Now, we who are the redeemed of the Lord, we're all saved sinners, and we're conscious of our own weakness, aren't we? We're conscious of our own flesh. Now, in religion, and I've seen this so many times because I was in it, and those of you who were in it, you probably saw it too. When a brother or sister falls into sin, they just kick them while they're down. And I'll tell you what, just drag them through the mud, excommunicate them, all kinds of stuff, right? You know, what I found in the grace movement, it's a lot different. We don't do that. We like to practice what's called burden bearing, don't we? Bear one another's burdens. And here's a, you may have heard that too. You may have heard that. We're going to see it in the text today. We who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we know our own frailness, don't we? We know our own weakness. I remember hearing a preacher one time said, the only difference between me and the worst criminal in jail is the grace of God. We'd all say amen, right? We know ourselves. We know how we are in our flesh. We know that left to our own self, we could do the most wicked things that anyone else could do in this world. But we've been saved by the grace of God. And all of us in our weakness have fell prey to sinfulness, haven't we? There's not a person in this building, there's not a saint of God in this building, there's not a saint of God on this earth that doesn't struggle with sin. Doesn't struggle with sin. Oh my. It's just a lot of people aren't willing to admit that. In religion, they don't want to admit that. You know why? Because they're getting jumped upon. But in grace, we all admit we're just a bunch of sinners. Someone said, I can't come over to that church, Wayne. I said, why not? We're just a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God. I said, you're a sinner too, right? Yeah. I said, well, you're welcome too then. Come, we're a hospital of sinners over here, aren't we? And Christ is the great physician, isn't he? Oh my. Oh my. So we all have weaknesses in our flesh. There may be some place where you're strong in that I'm really weak in, and vice versa. But if we got together, men and women, we all struggle. All you women struggle with the same thing. I guarantee you. All us men, we struggle with the same thing. And then put together, there's things we all struggle with together. Every one of us. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And we who are the redeemed of the Lord, we've been showing that, haven't we? We wouldn't say that in our natural state, would we? We'd say, well, the bad sinner's down the street there, my neighbor there, he's that guy, man, he's just brutal. But now we look and go, I'm my own worst enemy. Oh my, it's me who's the chief of sinners. Now let's read verses 1 to 10. We're going to look at verses 1 to 3 today. But let's look at the context. I want us to read the context. And remember, this is right after Paul has written about the fruit of the Spirit. And in the original, it's just a letter. There's no chapter breaks or anything like that. So he's just written about the fruit of the Spirit. And what they are, he's identified. Then he's told us to walk in the Spirit, right? And then look what he says here. And remember who the true author of this is God the Holy Spirit, right? He knows our frail. He knows how frail we are. He says this. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, it says if a man be overtaken in a fault. It's a statement of truth. It's going to happen. We're sinners. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Remember what one of the fruit of the spirits was? Meekness. Oh my. Look at this. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. My. So we don't look at maybe a brother or sister falls into grievous sin and go, look what they've just done. We go, there go I, but for the grace of God. And then we pick our brother and sister up, don't we? Because we're just as prone to the same sin, aren't we? That's what we're being exhorted here. And this is an exhortation for us, right? Look at this. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear the burdens of one another. We're all going to pray for Travis's and Karen's niece. We bear each other's burdens, right? We're praying for Fran and Kevin and Brad because we're bearing the burdens with them, right? We pray for one another, and when we put the note out in the little prayer chain and letting people know, please pray for me, please pray for me, right? Oh my! Look at this. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. You ever met someone in a church that thinks they're something? They're not hard to spot, are they? Thankfully, we don't have folks like that here. But I've seen it in churches. There was one fella. I'm not gonna say who it was. You guys wouldn't know him anyways. But out in Oregon, and Vicky knows who I'm talking about. This fella, he'd walk in the building. It was like, I'm here. And he'd walk up the. And everyone knew he had a lot of money, you know. He made that well known. But he walked in like, hey, I've arrived. I'm here. And it was just sad. It was just sad to see, right? Because it doesn't matter what our station in life is. We're still just a bunch of sinners, aren't we? Right? My. Now, I love seeing you all. You walk in, I'll give you a hug, and we greet each other, and that's so genuine. I love that. But there's no one here that toots around like the head rooster, right? We just don't happen here. You know, it may have in the past, but it doesn't happen now, does it? Nope. Not at all. Not at all. My, look at that. For a man thinking himself to be something. See, we think we're nothing. Because we've been humbled by the grace of God, haven't we? Man think him to be something, himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. So, you ever seen these folks in religion? Look at that person, they fell into sin. I'd never do that. How could they be a Christian and do something like that? Well, let me tell you, we Christians are prone to anything else the people in the world do, aren't we? You see? So Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is bringing forth something here. That someone who thinks himself to be something, they're actually nothing. And remember what Scott Ritson used to say? You remember this, right? We're all a bunch of zeros until you put the one in front. And that's Christ. Right? Isn't that true? Oh my. Who gets all the glory? Hey, amen. Christ gets all the glory, don't he? He gets it all. And we want him to get it, don't we? My. But let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. God's not mocked. Oh, he not mocked. Right? For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Now we've experienced that, haven't we? You ever feel the guilt of your sin when you now we know the guilt of our sin is bought and paid for, but when we sin and when we sin grievously, we feel it, don't we? Even as believers, we feel it, don't we? Even though it's forgiven, we still feel it. Now this though is talking about that a man will reap what he sows. If they sow corruption, they're gonna reap corruption. This is serious business. Right? Look at this. For he that soweth in to his flesh sow of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life after lasting. Now this isn't talking about, well, if we sin, then God's just going to cast us away. It's not talking about that. No. It's talking about a saved man and an unsaved man. Right? We walk in the Spirit, don't we? You know, I heard the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life as a believer this week. I was talking to a fellow about Christ, and I had mentioned that a local church here is not preaching the gospel, and they got pretty mad at me. But I said, oh, I'm not going to apologize, because it's true, I've listened, and the guy's not preaching the gospel. Before I say that, I've told you guys, I've listened to the different preachers around here to see if anyone's preaching the gospel, and there's not a lot of gospel preaching going on at all. Well, this guy, my buddy, brought up that he believes this fellow I was talking to, you can lose your salvation. You know what he said? I told him, I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. You just blasphemed God. You know what he said? He said, you know how the scripture says no man can pluck you out of the Father's hands? This is how these guys who believe that you can lose your salvation, which he don't have salvation from God. You know what he said? Well, you can jump. You can jump out. I said, you tell me that the God of the universe, who controls everything and all things, he's going to go, oh, I lost one. He jumped out of my hand. That's blasphemy, beloved. But you see how this stuff is justified by people? And then when we kept talking to him, and he basically, we said, well, how do you keep from jumping out? Or if you jump out, how do you get back in? Well, by doing stuff that's right. And my buddy, oh, I love that. He said, well, that's works. Number one, it's works, you're jumping out. And number two, it's works, you're jumping back in, supposedly. What foolishness. But he's been taught that, see? So he's going to reap to himself corruption, beloved. That's a religious man. My, oh my. Pray for him. Pray for my friend. His name's Gary. Pray for him. Oh my. My, oh my. But those who soweth in the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. See, don't tear your brother down if he fell. Don't tear your sister down if they fell. Come alongside them. Lift them up. Point them to Christ, the only Savior of sinners, knowing that we could fall too. Oh my. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Look at that, all men, not just believers, all men, right? Especially unto them of the household of faith. We're not to be like religious folks and just tear up somebody who falls into sin. Because we're to look at our brother and sister and go, that's our blood-bought brother and sister. Purchased by the same blood I am. The blood of Christ. Right? And they fall, and I could fall too. That's what this verse is bringing forth, beloved. And remember too, what's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love. The first one of the cluster, right, is love. Love guides everything. And that's love that's not natural to us, remember? It's the love of God in Christ. Put in us by the Holy Spirit of God. And nurtured in us by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's read verse 1 again. Brethren, if a man, and we know also a woman, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Again, that's a fruit. That's one of the clusters. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Listen to this in the Greek literal Bible. Brothers, even if a man should be caught in some trespasses, you, the spiritual ones, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. gentleness. Considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. You know, the Scriptures declare that God has called His people out of the darkness into the light of the kingdom of His dear Son. And that's all of us. That's all of us. And that's a work of God the Holy Spirit, right? That's His work. He regenerates us. He takes us. He transforms us from the kingdom of darkness that we were in to the kingdom of God's light. Now, do we still fall in sin? Yes, we do here and there. Well, not here and there. Everything we do is tainted with sin. But we're forgiven. We're forgiven, aren't we? So if we see a brother or sister fall into a grievous sin or be, as the Scripture, should be caught in some trespass, you yourself consider that, lest you also be tempted. We get tempted all the time, beloved. All the time. But when we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, when He's enlightened our minds, He gives us a spiritual understanding that we are redeemed by the blood of Christ, saved by the blood of Christ, and not left in the state we were in, of which we could not get ourselves out. Right? My. And Brother Travis, do we not rejoice in the fact that nothing can be laid to the charge of God's elect because it's God who justifies? Brother Jim, do we not rejoice in the fact that there's therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit? We rejoice in that, don't we? It's wonderful. We rejoice in those things. Oh, and knowing that the motions of sin are still in us, and knowing that we're still in the flesh, and that we can manifest weakness just like anyone else, right? Knowing that to be true, and that's every day, all day long, right? I talked to one fellow, and I said, well, when's the last time you sinned? And he said, well, let me think. I said, you're sinning right now. Oh, my goodness. Oh, beloved of God, let us be quick to rush to the aid of our brothers and sisters. Let us be quick. That's what this is saying. Let us be quick to rush to the aid of our brothers and sisters who fall into sin. Right? Quick. With gentleness. With gentleness. Come, my brother. Come, my dear brother. Right? Come, my dear sister. Let's look to Christ together. Right? In the spirit of gentleness. Not like, well, there's the door. Not like that. No. Why would you ever want to send someone packing out the door where they're not going to hear the gospel? Right? If you have the gospel, you want that brother and sister there, right? Because the Holy Spirit's going to correct them, right? We don't have to, you know, I asked Donnie Bell one time, how much church discipline you done in 21 years? You know what he said? Zero. He goes, when I preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit does the discipline. You ever listen to a sermon and boom, you're just like, oh my gosh, Lord, please forgive me. Happens all the time, doesn't it, beloved? Preacher don't even know what's happening. I mean, listen to my brother and preach. Boom! I'm like, oh man, Lord, I'm such a wretched man. Praise God for your salvation and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just go to Christ again, don't we? Right? It's not a one-time thing. We just continuously keep going to Christ. Hey. Oh my, it's wonderful. I'll tell you what. So let us be quick to rush to the aid of a brother or sister in Christ when they're overtaken by a fault or by sin, because we could be right there too. I used to go down the gospel mission, preach the gospel at a mission in Oregon, and I'd see these guys, and they were all kinds of different things. Some were being strung out and drinking, some being strung out in drugs, some just something happened in their life. And every time I'd go there, And I go down there, and I didn't get dressed up. I just went down there and normal. I want to be like them, right? Hudson Taylor did that when he went to China. He just dressed like the other folks, right? I go down there, and I'd even sit in with them while they're singing. And I just get up and preach. And then afterwards, I always had a bunch of guys come talk to me. You know, they wanted to talk. But I'm not better than them. And what the Lord impressed upon my heart was, Wayne, not Wayne. I don't want to say that God's speaking to me like that. But you know what I mean, just through the scripture. So, and what was impressed upon me was that portion of scripture, there go I, but for the grace of God. Right? There go I, but for the grace of God. That's how the Lord speaks to me, and I don't, through the scriptures. Like, man, there I am. There I am. It wasn't for the grace of God. So let us be quick to rush to the aids of our dear brothers and sisters, right? And help them and lift them up. Oh my, in religion, when someone falls into, I've seen this too. When someone falls into a sinful trap, most professing Christians will manifest, and this is not in the grace community, I haven't seen it, but most professing Christians will manifest hate rather than love. And I used to be, I was there, I'd be like, how can that person be a Christian? I was so full of pride and so condescending. I thank God that my wife stayed with me, to be honest with you. I was a Pharisee. I was awful. You could ask Vicky, I used to complain about people, and this was out north. I used to, and then the Lord saved me. You know what? He shut my mouth. Right? My, oh, my. My, oh, my. But in religion, when someone falls into a sinful trap, they, instead of restoring them, they just beat them down. And sometimes cast them right out of the church. My, oh, my. And then they start gossiping and they start judging. You know what happens when, you know, and this is something I'm very thankful about. We don't have this here. But I've seen this in churches, and tell me if you have. Just nod your head. Is you get someone falls into something, well, people start talking, and they all start talking, and then the preacher gets into it. He starts talking, and they're all talking, and no one's looking at Christ. They're all looking at the sinner. Hey, that's my brother then, right? That's my brother in the flesh, at least, right? We're all brothers and sisters in Adam. Well, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Scott Richardson, I love it. He used to call everybody brother. And the reason he did was because, well, he's either my brother in Adam or he's my brother in Christ, one or the other, right? But here you are, this poor sinner, just getting beat upon and raked upon, and no one else is looking at Christ. They're all looking in self-righteousness at each other. And even the preacher starts looking at everybody. I've seen it. It's horrible, beloved. That's why when I came here, someone asked me, they said, will you ever preach against someone in the congregation from the pulpit? And I said, I'll never do that. It is not my job to shear the sheep. That's not my job. My job, my calling is to preach Christ and Him crucified. Preach the balm, right? Sister Diane, you know, the balm of Christ, the balm of Christ. Look to Christ. He's the balm. He's the Savior. We're on level ground, aren't we? See, but some religious folks think they're on a little bit of a pitcher's mound there. No. They're sinners just like everybody else, aren't they? Whether they believe it or not. Oh, my. Enough of that stuff, right? So they start condemning. They start... But those who are guilty of doing that, we see in the text, they're not spiritual. It says here, brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So walking in the spirit and being spiritual is restoring our brothers and sisters in Christ, coming alongside them. Right? Lest we consider we could be in the same situation. My, oh my. And you know what? Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Romans 10:13. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And look in our text here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. Oh, no, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, the law of Christ is the royal law of love. Right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And then we see in here, too, we're especially to be gentle and meek and loving to those who are the spirit of the household of faith. We saw that when we read that section. Oh. And again, the first fruit of the Spirit we studied was love. And this out of that God-given love flows this burden-bearing. You see? In religion, or in the natural flesh, we were more concerned about ourselves. And I didn't pray for people then, or I'd say, I'll pray for you. But that was like me as a Catholic. I never prayed for anyone. I only prayed for myself, saying, Lord, I'll never do that again. When I fell into something, or when I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing. Right? But now, we care for those. We care for those. We care for families of those we love in Christ. We care for those we love in Christ, our brothers and sisters, right? We pray for them. The Lord puts them on our heart. You ever been sitting there just doing something and all of a sudden somebody get put on your heart and you start praying for them? Isn't that amazing? That's the Lord doing that. And you just start lifting them up the throne of grace. You don't even know what they're going through. They might be going through something at that time. They may need strength at that time. And sometimes the Lord lets you know, and you don't even say anything. They say, well, yeah, I was really struggling last week. And little did you know. And you don't ever tell them that the Lord put them on your heart and you were praying for them. Isn't that amazing how the Lord works? Oh, my. Oh, love is the fruit of the Spirit. We don't gossip or but others. We don't judge others. We don't condemn our brothers and sisters who've been overtaken in the fault, because we could be there too. We come alongside them. Listen to this. The love that comes from God, it doesn't work in a hateful way. Listen to this. Charity, which is love, suffereth long. It is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 to 5. That's the same love that God the Holy Spirit gives us. You see? For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, Galatians 4:14. Oh my. Brethren, we're under the law of Christ. And that's a law of love. That's a law of love. Christ fulfilled God's law for us. Now we've been commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we all love ourselves, don't we? You know, even when we say, oh, I'm such and such and such, deep down we still love ourselves. Right? We just do. But see, now with a regenerated heart, things are different, aren't they? Things have changed. We're not looking out for number one now. We're looking to Christ together. Isn't that wonderful? Here we are, a group of sinners. And we're looking to Christ together. We're looking to the one who's redeemed us together. And if our brother or sister fall into sin, we're going to go help them out, aren't we? We're not going to kick them while they're down. We're going to come alongside them. We're going to say, I love you. I love you. And we're going to help them, aren't we? Oh, my. My, oh, my. And we should seek to recover those who've fallen into those sinful traps. Recover them. Come, let's look to Christ together. And if you need to sit and talk with them, be there for them. Right? I love how we all talk after service and everyone's getting in the, you know, even more so than ever before. It's wonderful. But that's cultivated by God the Holy Spirit, isn't it? He's the one working all that in us. You know, and I love Sundays. And I love Wednesdays. Those are my two favorite days of the week. Do you know that? Because I get to see you all. I was chomping at the bit to come today. It's like, man, it's nice to get back in the groove of Sunday school, Sunday morning. It's so wonderful, beloved. And then I get the blessing just to see you all and be with you. You're my family, beloved. It's wonderful. We've been through thick and thin together, haven't we? Even though I've only been here 8 years, we've been through a lot together, haven't we? God's carried us through it all, hasn't He? My. And in our weaknesses, we prayed for each other. My. Isn't it wonderful? Went through COVID together. My. And Lord just He just keeps making. I see what He's doing. It's amazing. He's just making the church stronger and stronger and stronger spiritually. As we grow in the grace and truth of Christ. We don't see our own growth. But God does. And other people do. And it's amazing to see what God's doing. So let us remember too, it tells us in this text here, that we're to restore our brother with meekness, or sister with meekness, right? And remember, again, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. It's every born-again believer has this. Right? We look at ourselves and go, well, I'm not very meek. No, I don't have much goodness. But it's in us. But it's being worked by the Holy Spirit of God in us. The love that we have for one another, that's being worked in us by the Holy Spirit of God. That's being cultivated. That's why we desire to go and restore our brothers and sisters. Oh, my. Oh, my. We're to go to the one who's fallen into that sinful trap in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The motions of sin, again, is in all of us. We all have the potential to fall into that same sin or other sins. Therefore, if a brother or sister falls into the spirit of sin or attitude or flesh, we're to make every attempt to recover and restore them, not beat them down. Isn't that wonderful? My. Resettle him to his place of fellowship. And the attitude of a strong, mature, restrained believer toward the fallen ones is not to be critical or holier thou than thou or condemning. No, we're to come in a spirit of meekness. Being humble. Right? For we know that the potential to commit any sin is in every one of us. It's in every one of us, isn't it? My. Beloved, rejoice. We're redeemed, children of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of holiness and grace. But we're still just sinful human flesh, aren't we? Oh, let us bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Mine.